Welcome to Double X Science. Science, it's the new black. Today is Friday, March 1st, 2013. I am Adrienne Rorick, chemistry editor, and with me today is Jeannie Garbarino, biology editor. Hi, Jeannie.
Hi, Adrienne.
For our Double X Science audience, I'm curious, what is your work in addition to what you do for Double X Science?
So I am the director of science outreach at the Rockefeller University in New York City. And basically my goal is to facilitate a better dialogue between scientists and educators, and also to have more programming to get kids more interested in science. So the cornerstone of my program involves a 7-week research intensive program. We get kids applying from all over the world, actually, but majority of the kids who come are from the tri-state area, so the northeastern United States. And they come and they get paired with a researcher and they do a project for 7 weeks. I help with them in terms of their scientific literacy, their critical thinking skill set, how to read science literature. And this is happening as they are going into the lab and working with a scientist to do a project, which will be presented at the end of the 7-week period in a traditional poster format. It definitely helps us to engage kids more and help them to get more insight in the culture of science, basic science research. And I do a few other things where I have kids come in from schools throughout New York City for tours of labs, and we call them outreach days. We get kids to come in that have had no experience whatsoever in terms of what a science lab or science research looks like. And we try to just show them that it's really cool and it's attainable if they work for it.
That sounds excellent. Many adults don't know what a research lab looks like, and just being able to be exposed to that is really fantastic. So that's really neat and interesting.
Thanks.
That's a great position and great work that you're doing in addition to our Double X Science. That actually seems like they kind of go hand in hand, those missions.
Yes, they definitely go hand in hand.
Now on to our week of posts. This week we had 5 posts.
So on Monday, we had Jeffrey Perkel talk about the vaginal ecosystem. Yes, that does exist. And it's real, and it's magnificent. And basically the point of his article was to show that the vaginal ecosystem can play a role in preterm labor. So it's really important to think about keeping the bacterial flora of your vagina very healthy, and especially if you're thinking about having babies.
On Tuesday, our biology editor, Jeannie Garbarino, asked, why do we film music? It starts with the quote, music has charms to soothe a savage breast, to soften rocks, or bend a knotted oak. It's an excerpt from The Mourning Bride by William Congreve from 1697. So the introduction to this particular post is personally written. It's very much a story about you and your feelings with music. And it reads a little bit different than some of us are used to when we read a blog post about science or even personal interactions. It's kind of a twist on both of those. Why did you choose to take this particular tack to writing this post?
Honestly, I didn't have a strategy mapped out in my head. I actually wrote the scientific part up, and I was reading it over, and I was just thinking to myself that it was kind of, it just lacked something, and I was just trying to think about what I could possibly do to make it a little bit more interesting. And I was doing that at the same time while I was watching my kids dancing in my living room. And just because I had done some research on neuroscience and music and emotion, I was thinking about things in a different way in terms of just asking myself, do I feel this music because this music truly speaks to me? Or do I have some sort of context or memory that I associate with an emotion, and this music just opens up those channels? And so as I watched my kids dance, and I'm thinking to myself about these types of questions, I just was like, well, why not just experiment on my kids? And so I went and I randomly threw on some classical music, and then I thought about what would be the opposite of classical music, and I thought Public Enemy. And I just wanted to compare and contrast those two types of musical genres and see how my kids responded, because being only 3.5 and 5.5 have little memory in terms of personal experiences and music. So
right.
I thought that they would be pretty good guinea pigs, and I thought it would be a nice segue into talking about the musical philosophy, or neurophilosophy, really.
Okay. Actually, that was a great segue from the personal, you transitioned into those published science studies. And some of the studies you cited were older. They're maybe around 2000, late 90s, and some were new. So clearly this field of neurobiology for feeling music, it has some interest in it. Is this one of those people are wondering about it things the same way you are wondering about it, or does this have some greater or grander importance?
Probably both. People are just inquisitive and they want to know why music speaks to us, because, I mean, if you think about it, music has been a part of almost every culture that's ever existed for Homo sapiens. So I think it's just a really interesting aspect of our natural history as a species. But additionally, I think it could provide some really interesting information about how our brain works. The brain is just so complicated. And if we could think about different ways to address how we think and how we feel, music just seems like a natural topic and a natural avenue to pursue, and just trying to figure out how we connect our neurophysiology with our emotional being.
Well, thank you very much for talking a little bit about your post this week.
Of course, of course. On Wednesday, we had a guest post by Susan E. Matthews, who talked about the importance of giving girls and science their due. The idea is to make sure that girls are getting as much of an opportunity as their male counterparts in the sciences and getting them more interested, because it is apparent from just the sheer numbers of who goes into science and who doesn't that there is quite a gender imbalance. And if we can think about it in a way to just engage girls at an earlier age and just support them in their quest to become scientists, that we might have a shift in that engender and make it more balanced, the gender balance.
Okay. On Thursday, our Double Expression series featured Nazneen Rahman. She's a cancer doctor and jazz singer. And our science education editor, Chris Gunter, conducted the interview and wrote the post. Nazneen Rahman is an accomplished cancer researcher and physician, and in the past few years, she has established a following on SoundCloud as a singer. She spoke with our Chris Gunter about coming out with her passion for music and as a scientist.
On Friday, we continued with our I Am Mental Illness series, which is a very important series to help raise public awareness of different mental illnesses and to hopefully reduce the stigma associated with these illnesses. And our guest poster for this Friday installment was Helen Chapel, who struggles with bipolar 2 disorder. She discussed how bipolar 2 has affected her life.
You can find all of these posts at our website, doublexscience.org. And this week's posts are found by clicking on the links to the post title on the main page. In addition, our sister site, Double X Science Junior, had two posts this week. The past several months, we have been highlighting blog posts by high school students participating in a program in Vancouver, Canada, designed to encourage and hone their science and science communication interests and skills. We had a regular post on Tuesday about biocrude fuel and the use of algae by one of these students. But on Thursday, we had a slightly different type of post, where we posted a series of videos of these students performing chemistry demonstrations. They did these demonstrations for an assignment in about mid-February, and their educational leader posted them on YouTube. And I just thought these were so fun to watch.
It's really neat to see the kids get so involved and so engaged in these types of science endeavors, but really what I find most impressive about it is that they're turning to social media, YouTube in particular, to really highlight their experiences. And this is just a goldmine for sharing what it's like to do these types of experiments. And I think it also helps to break down some of the perceived barriers on whether or not a certain person can do them. And if they see their peers doing it, it might like say, oh, you know, she can do it or he can do it. I can do it too. Yeah. So I love that they put this on YouTube and that they're broadcasting it. And I think Double X Science Junior is just a phenomenal site to open up the channels of science communication for the younger Double Xers.
Yeah, exactly. And you can find those posts at doublexsciencejr.blogspot.com or by following the link from the doublexscience.org main page. Now on to our news. Jeannie, what science news have you been reading this week?
An article that we posted on our Facebook page, and this was an article that was posted in Slate. It basically discusses called celiac disease, which is a full-blown immunodeficiency state where people who with celiac disease are unable to tolerate gluten. And gluten is a compound that's found in things like wheat breads or anything that's wheat-based has gluten in it. So people with celiac disease will try to avoid wheat-based foods. So celiac is a disease that's often mislabeled as having irritable bowel syndrome,
right,
or vitamin deficiencies, which is actually something that's probably underdiagnosed. They think that only 1/3 of all cases of celiac is actually diagnosed worldwide.
That's interesting.
A true wheat allergy is, and it's thought to be very rare. So people who say that they are allergic to wheat, they're probably not allergic.
It's really important to, if you think you might have this, see a doctor, not just self-diagnose.
So Adrian, what have you been reading?
Well, I found this story in CNE News at the American Chemical Society, ACS.org website, about finding fake anti-malarial drugs without breaking open the packaging. And what's interesting about this is there's actually a market for fake anti-malarial drugs where they actually have a portion of the drug in there, but such a small quantity, it does not do what it needs to do. And then they charge the same cost as for the full prescription and whatnot. And so it's very important to find these drugs without necessarily opening the packaging, because once you've opened the packaging, if it is actually the real deal, you have to reprocess it, repurify, repackage, and then you've now increased the cost of the real deal. And so this is using a technique called nuclear quadrupole resonance spectroscopy. They are able to use the interactions that the nuclei in the actual drug have with each other, and they give a distinct pattern. This distinct pattern changes intensity due to how much of that molecule is in the tablet, say, in that package. And so if there is the full amount, you get certain intensity to your pattern. Say if you have the 40%, that is very common in these fake drugs, you end up with essentially a 40% of that intensity. And so it really will help people in the developing world spot fake drugs, because this is not a particularly expensive instrumentation to have on hand. And in addition, some work needs to be done with this, because great, this works for antimalarial drugs. Does it work for all drugs? It needs to be perhaps refined for that too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it does have a little bit of work yet, but it's still pretty groundbreaking in terms of being able to help people with their health.
Yeah.
That wraps up our week at Double X Science.
And next week, we can expect another notable Women in Science post from our own chemistry editor and several posts from contributors, as well as another installment of the I Am Mental Illness series.
Thank you for listening. You can subscribe to our podcast via iTunes or your favorite podcatcher. Our music is provided by Editor-in-Chief Emily Willingham. Our artwork is by Dallas Lopez. Please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at XXI. This has been chemistry editor Adrian Rorick and biology editor Jeannie Garbarino. We are Double X Science, bringing science to the woman in you.